we get exhorted to in Psalm 134. Bless, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night and day stand in the house of the Lord. To bless the Lord, that is to worship Him, to recognize Him, to honor Him. That's the purpose of our coming together. And there too, we always begin our service with prayer, for we need help from above. So let us unite our hearts in prayer as we begin and receive the Lord's blessing. Our help is in Thy name, O Lord, in Thee who has made the heavens and the earth, in Thee who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of Thy own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Shall we now together sing with Psalter 306 about the glory and the condescension of God? Praise God, ye servants of the Lord. Praise His name with one accord. Psalter 306, all four verses. Let's now hear the law of God this morning from this praiseworthy king as we read in Exodus chapter 20. And if you listen well and reflect well, then we have all reasons to sing together Psalter 141, verse 1 and 2, after hearing what we are to reflect in our life and walk. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. so in connection with the third commandment this morning, let us read from Ezekiel 36, and we'll begin with verse 16 and read to 32. Speaking about God's name profaned. Moreover, Ezekiel 36, verse 16, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way and according to their doings. I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for my own holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I'll take you from among the heathen, and will gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. And I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. And then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your own doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God, be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. I'll read so far from this portion of this book of Ezekiel. There's some needs we remember today. Deborah Easterhoff and the ongoing help she is getting. Anne is having a lot of pain and discomfort and cannot be with us. And Mary Vandenberg is also struggling with a good amount of pain in her hips. Let's ask the Lord to bless the means she may use again tomorrow. And so let's pray and seek the Lord with each other. Gracious and wonderful God, it is the theme of this beautiful and yet also very convicting chapter. I shall do it for my own holy namesake. And Lord, that is the secret also for why we are here again together with each other. It is thy goodness, thy holy name that thou hast declared and does declare, and thy patience, and thy mercy, and thy abounding goodness. And so we pray for Christ's merits this morning, that thou would move all of our hearts to come to the praises of what we sang in our opening psalter this morning. That our hearts be swelling with these contemplations of how great thou art, who needs to humble thyself, to look down upon the universe. And Lord, thou humbled thyself not only that way, but even far more exceeding, to look upon this earth, and not only to look, but thou hast come in the flesh to live here and to die here. And O great God, may that glorious truth of thy gospel as well as thy law fill our hearts, empty us from any unworthy contemplations, but also separate us in this special day from all the lawful things we are busy with in the 6 days of the week. And what a blessing, Lord, if thou so make thyself known this morning. Become so real, so personal, that it is thee and us in this church. Not anyone else or anything else. But that we may sense that thou art speaking to us personally about personal things. And that so we may together in this day experience, Lord, this church and this Sunday to be a real Sabbath day. And thou knows, Lord, we are not just failures when we are here together. We are rebels. We are disobedient creatures. We make choices that are bad. We take thy name in vain many times each day. And that is what we are going to have to examine this morning as thy word here spoke about Israel, you have profaned my name among the heathen. Lord, we pray that thou graciously deal with us to teach us also that we have forfeited every blessing, even on the basis of the third commandment, if that's the only commandment we are to consider. That even the smallest blessing of a crust of bread and a cup of water, Lord God, is mercy. And thou hast yet opened thy hands so bountifully to us again that we had far more than a crust of bread and a glass of water. And so we pray that thy goodness, the riches of thy goodness and of thy forbearance, may lead us to repentance, may cure our thinking, may redeem us, O God, from any suspicious or harsh thoughts about thee. But also may melt our souls into repentance. Gracious Lord, so then be among us today. And reach thou out to our hearts with the word today, so that we may feel convicted, led into the return to thee, in the way of repentance, and as we sang together, Lord, at that sense of David's petitions and confessions may also become ours in a really personal way. I know that some of us are struggling with needs, with sadnesses, and with empty places, and brokenness, and depression, and pain. Pray for those, Lord, who cannot even be here today. We pray for Anne in her weakness and pains, and we pray for Deborah with her depression and the help that she is receiving for that. We pray, O gracious Lord, that Thou would reach out Thy hand to bring healing, to bring comfort, strength to follow, faith to submit, and to trust in Thee, and a sense of Thy nearness in all our needs. And so, gracious Shepherd and Teacher, as we also are here to hear what Thou hast to say to us, and please open our hearts. We've made a journey to study the law, and it will be an everlasting journey for Thy church to study Thee and Thy will and Thy character and Thy beauty. And Lord, as we again today may look at the portion of Thy law, will Thou open our hearts for the teachings of that and increase our awe for Thee. For Thou hast not only given us Thy sovereign will, Thou hast so graciously shown us Thy love in these commandments to love. And Lord, thereto will Thou send forth Thy Spirit in such a way that we may begin to see what we have never seen before, that it may lead us into a new understanding of Thee as well as of ourselves. It is clear, O God, that Thou hast never sought our destruction, but always are seeking our salvation. And yet, unless Thy regenerating Spirit makes us alive, we simply can't see that. We don't have an appreciation, Lord, at all for what Thou art revealing in the Scriptures, both in Thy law and in Thy gospel. And therefore, we beg Thee to blow upon young and old souls that are yet blind for Thee, that are deaf to Thy word, that are dead to Thee. O gracious God, let Thy work of truth that we also read in this chapter about Thy covenant mercies gathering Thy Israel, even from being scattered. And then we may pray for Thy old Israel, but also for Thy elect, Lord, that are in this world still unreached and not brought to Thee. Pray that Thy word may be blessed thereto today, as it will be sent out in preaching and mission work and in Bible studies and sharing ministries. We pray that all these aspects of Thy kingdom work may be richly blessed, and that all those who may be involved may be richly endowed with Thy Spirit. And Lord, let also a sense of our sin, that undoubtedly again we ought to feel this morning, lead us deeper and closer to the cross of Jesus. Let that bring us to a greater sense of need for the blood and righteousness of another. And that is Thy Son. And Lord, we pray that in reflection on this third commandment today, not only wilt Thou set a watch before a mouth in how we use Thy name, but also enable us, wherever we are, in whatever company, to reflect Thy name, which we bear. Gracious God, will Thou so look upon us all. Again, we pray for healing in those needs that some of us face, comfort. We also pray for Jane as she is looking for employment. Lord, Thou knowest she has tried many doors in these last weeks. And yet we ask that Thou would give her comfort to know that when we do things waiting on Thee, that what is disappointing for us is still an indication of Thy will. And so provide her in time need also meaningful and employment so she can also provide for herself as much as possible. Lord, we ask Thee then to remember the persecuted church in a special way this morning. Give them strength to endure, faith to rejoice, even when they suffer pain or loss or flee home and church. Give them courage to testify and let their examples be for us a prod to also convict us, Lord, of our lukewarmness. Hear us, O Lord, in the forgiveness of all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. This morning we will together sing now Psalter 177, Missionary Church, O God, be merciful. Let us see Thy shining face, that all the earth may know Thy way. Psalter 177. Today the collections, the first is for the general, and the second today is for the benevolent fund, or for the deacons are asking us to help them out with some of the increased needs we've had in our church family. So Psalter 177, 1, 2, 3. Congregation, the psalter that we sang together It's called the missionary church. It's written in the Old Testament. There were no missionaries back then. God never sent out any missionaries in the Old Testament to go to the Egyptians and to the Syrians and to all the other nations. How would this then be fulfilled in those days? Did it have to wait until we came to the New Testament age? Well, if you read well with me today, you have had the answer in Ezekiel 37. The Jewish people were traders. They were travelers. They interacted with strangers. And what did they do? They profaned the name of the Lord when they were abroad, when they were in their own country as well. They broke the third commandment. What were they doing? Cursing? Swearing false oaths? Making fraudulent business deals? Being greedy? Dishonest? How did they profane the name of God? By blending in with the world around them. We transgress the third commandment far more than cursing. Maybe you have never cursed, and yet you could be breaking the third commandment every day. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. It's one of the most misunderstood commandments of the Ten. So may God indeed help me this morning to lead you into rethinking, or deeper thinking rather, of the third commandment. Our catechism indeed does reflect that instruction very beautifully, but often we miss out on a short portion of that answer of the Lord's Day on the third commandment. That really is the heart of the third commandment. Let's read first then Lord's Day 36 and 37. I combine them always in one. What is required in the third commandment? That we not only by cursing or perjury is lying under oath, but also by rash swearing, must not profane or abuse the name of God, and nor by silence or connivance be partakers of these horrible sins in others. And briefly, that we use the holy name of God no otherwise than with fear and reverence, so that he may be rightly confessed and worshipped by us. And then that last sentence, which is usually kind of falling off everywhere, and be glorified in all our words. And now the last word, and works. That's the heart of the third commandment, that last word. Our works. Now we usually are focusing on our words, don't we? Let's read the rest of these questions and answers. Is then profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing so heinous a sin that his wrath is kindled against those who do not endeavor, as much as in them lies, to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing? It undoubtedly is. For there is no sin greater or more provoking to God than the profaning of his name. And therefore he has commanded this sin to be punished with death. May we then swear religiously by the name of God? Yes, either when the magistrates demand it, or the subjects or when necessity requires us thereby to confirm fidelity or faithfulness and truth to the glory of God and the safety of our neighbor. For such an oath is founded on God's word and therefore was justly used by the saints both in the Old and New Testament. May we also swear by saints or any other creature? No, for a lawful oath is calling upon God as the only one who knows the heart, and that he will bear witness to the truth and punish me if I swear falsely, which honor is due to no creature. So let's consider the third commandment this morning together. It speaks about God's name. How dear is your name to you and to me? Very dear. To have my name associated with some evil, that makes me angry. If someone would mention my name or your name in connection to a really vile person, as if you are one of his or hers, that would make you really upset. We are so super protective of our names. We do everything to hide. Even the failures that some of our children do. And most of our problems with our kids and the arguments we have with them is only to secure the reputation of our own name. Oh, kids, what will they say about me if you do things like that? Let's be honest. It's about our name. And is it necessarily wrong? Of course it's not wrong. There's nothing wrong for you to be upset when your name is taken in discredit. But what is wrong with God to be upset then? When we take His name in discredit and associate it with behavior or words that are totally dishonorable to Him. And so no wonder He says, now don't you take my name in vain, for I will not hold you guiltless, even if you simply take my name in vain. That is the lowest degree of taking His name in a dishonorable way, in vain. We'll look at that in a moment. God comes that low. So that should help us to understand the heart of the third commandment. And that ties in a little bit with the third principle of the law this morning I briefly will touch on. The law of God is spiritual, Paul writes. And David puts it this way, the commandment is exceeding broad. And congregation, I hope you and I will begin to see that as we go through these Ten Commandments. There's a lot more to the face value of one commandment. I've said to you repeatedly, the Ten Commandment is the shortest exposition of the law of God that you find in the Bible. The shortest. So we can memorize it. But God could write forever on this. To expound the details of His glorious being. But He's managed to make it so short that we can memorize it in very easy ways. So the law is spiritual. It's much more than the face value. We need to obey the letter of the law. Well, that's what most of us attain to in some degree. How many of you have ever murdered anybody? For the sixth commandment is, in Hebrew, thou shalt not murder. In English, it's thou shalt not kill. But we haven't murdered anybody. So on face value, we haven't murdered. But Jesus, wait a moment. You put someone down, you murdered him. You give someone a cold shoulder in church, you murder him. In His view. See, that's the depth. And even if you don't do an action, or if you don't say a word that is killing, even if you entertain in your mind the wish of ill on a person, He marks you as a murderer in His book. That's the depth. That's the commandment. Now, hear the third commandment. You say, I've never made a curse. I've never taken the Lord's name in vain. I've never blasted someone with a bad word. My friend, you miss it altogether. None of us are innocent of the third commandment. Face value, maybe, but not the depth of taking God's name in vain. It's a lot more. And of course, that should not come as a surprise to us that the law of God is so deep. Remember, the law of God is the reflection of who our wonderful, great God is. And if He puts it in a few words, there's a lot more to Him than is reflected in these few words. So therefore, this helps us to understand that Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 20, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, if it doesn't go deeper than the outside, the surface obedience, you'll in no wise be part of my kingdom. So With that, let's now look at the third commandment, and we'll call this message, Honor My Name. Why is it so important? What is the use of God's name in vain really mean? How are we to use His name in vain? Or how do we? And how are we to use it honorably? Caleb, could I request you for a moment to look outside on the parking lot? There's a car parked there that I don't recognize that comes in and is doing something. Thank you. So honor my name. What does God mean with this? Why is it so important? And what is the use of His name in vain? Congregation, it's clear that God made this commandment very important. Just like the second, He adds a very severe statement to it. I will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. God takes this very personal. When we abuse or dishonor or somehow misuse his name, and that makes sense, doesn't it? For you and me, a name is a label. It distinguishes John and Peter. It distinguishes us from another person, but it's only a label. When I look at Peter, I know nothing about the character of Peter. Or when I look at Maria, I know nothing about the character of Maria. Our names are no revelation. God's name is Himself personally. So you take God's name in vain, you offend God. You take and use something that is very special to God, and as we break it, we dishonor the first and the second, and it flows naturally into the third. When I don't recognize who God is, and I don't worship how I am to worship God, I am in the third commandment already. Those commandments are not unrelated to each other. They are merged together, the first, the second, and the third. So when I fail in the first and lead to the failure in the second, it certainly will lead to a failure in the third. If I consider God as some equal, as if I consider God as some indulgent lover, if I consider God as some easygoing being, how will that reflect itself in how I speak to Him? And how will that reflect itself in how we speak about Him? That will even reflect itself in our posture, the way we think about God. You know that from me, so I don't have to restate it again and again. But it will reflect itself in our posture when we realize to whom we speak, as well as about whom we speak. When we use His name, this is a majesty. This is a God beyond our understanding. This is the Holy One, the Most High. When Isaiah saw Him, his preaching became like cursing to him. Woe is me! My lips are unclean. And he had been preaching a beautiful, honest sermon. When Ezekiel sees God in Ezekiel chapter 1, he falls as dead. He lay down on the ground. It's John who falls down as dead when he sees the glory of Jesus. The name of God. And friends, when we understand this greatness of God, then we will also reflect that in how we speak about Him. Dishonoring God's name has far-reaching consequences. Let me illustrate what that means. You shall not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. What does that mean? Well, let me illustrate it. Here you have a husband and a wife. And the wife is saying nasty things about her husband. And nasty things against her husband. What's going to happen to that relationship? What's going to happen if I bad talk about a friend? What if I gossip about a church member? I've done something wrong, but now I'm going to spread the story. What's going to happen to a relationship in which I abuse or misuse or speak ill about someone's name. Well, you know what happens. The relationship deteriorates. And now what happens? Then the behavior also degenerates. We're going to do worse things to each other. The moment we begin to deteriorate the relationship, the behavior also goes bad. And from bad to worse. It's exactly what happens when we take God's name in vain. If I misuse God's name and I offend Him and I grieve, then what happens to my relationship with God? We read it. God steps back. God withdraws. For a little while, He lets you go. That's the worst judgment to get. To be let go by God. For what happens when that relationship deteriorates, your behavior degenerates. Goes from bad to worse. You see that every time in Israel, history, you see that everywhere around us. The abuse of God's name is the most self-destructive behavior you can engage in. For when God withholds Himself and withdraws Himself, you will degenerate. That's His judgment. Eventually, there comes a final abandonment. You must not think about God so not hold Him guiltless that He will immediately execute you. No. He steps back. And He lets that person go. Example? Israel. Book of Ezekiel. Where are they? What happened to them? What did they do? You read it several times. They profaned the name of God. Were they cursing? Were they doing perjury? Were they lying and dishonest? No. Maybe they did too. But they mostly were acting like heathens. And God says, I'll let you go. Jerusalem destroyed. Most of the Jews died in exile. Many of them were cut up and murdered. Families destroyed. Where did it all start? Profaning His name. It still happens that way in churches. It still happens that way in families. The moment we begin to profane the name of God in our home life, everything is going to go. It will all deteriorate. That's why I said the first, second, and the third are so interrelated to each other, dear friends. And God does not want this to happen. God knows that dishonoring the name of God is a nurse to many other sins. It makes our heart callous about God and against God. It leads to the despising of authority. It leads to the erosion of oaths and vows. And God knows. And God cares. That is not good for you. May I remind you again that these Ten Commandments are not to protect God. We don't touch God, my friends, except we provoke Him and we anger Him. He's not losing when you get lost. He's not losing when you destroy yourself. He doesn't want us to destroy ourselves. And He puts this beautiful fence around us. Now remember, the way to love me is to treat my name, which you bear, with the utmost respect. So let's look secondly then. What does it really mean to use God's name in vain? The word vain in the Hebrew means empty or frivolous. Means inconsiderate, irreverent. So God commands that we don't use His name in an empty way, in a flippant way, in an irreverent way. No. Notice He doesn't say, I will not hold him guiltless who curses my name. Curses His name is a much farther degree than taking His name in vain. Yeah, that's a terrible way to use God's name to curse. But I can use His name in vain when I speak frivolously about God. and I speak flippantly about this high and majestic being. So God's name in vain is when we use it superficially or insincerely and thoughtlessly. We need to be careful. We don't use God's name just as a stop word, as a casual word, intersprinkled all over the conversations. We must not make God, as it were, a household word, in the sense that He is used in a non-worshipping way. Of course, it is good to talk about God as we walk by the way. It is good to speak about the Lord when we sit down at our table. It is good to bring the Lord in every aspect of our daily life of our children, parents. We'll look at that, the fifth commandment, later. But God does not want us to use His name in a way that has nothing to do with sacred worship or in a sacred context. You know the proverb, familiarity breeds contempt. And when we take something out of the sacred context and use it in a very casual manner and context, we breed contempt. And that is not what the Lord wants us to do with His name. Now I make a little jump to the Lord's Prayer. And you notice how the Holy Lord Jesus emphasized in the Lord's Prayer the third commandment. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. First petition. That's third commandment. Our Father, of course, is the first commandment. Which art in heaven is the second commandment. Hallowed be thy name is the third commandment. It's so important to Him that we are to pray daily that we may use and reflect His name, not in vain. So let us then consider, thirdly, how do we use His name in vain, and consider these various aspects. But let's together sing first with each other from Psalter 372, verses 1 and 2. Come, all ye servants of the Lord, lift up your voice with one accord, Jehovah's name to bless. So let's sing both verses of 372. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For he shall not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now I've just looked at the word vain with you. That's the lowest way of using God's name in vain. Is when we refer to him dishonorably. In a context or a setting that has nothing to do with worship. Nothing to do with a conversation in which we're trying to draw the name of God into our conversation to make him part of the teaching. To refer to him dishonorably. By using his name or referring to his attributes. My goodness. It's a very common expression. Let's think about that. That's an attribute of God. His goodness. Is that something we should then say in every context? Yeah, let's just reflect on this. Use his titles or use the phrase God bless. Beautiful. But consider the context. Consider the intention. Consider the motivation. Let us consider this holy name of God and his attributes. And any time that we use God's name in our daily speech, it has nothing to do with worship or honoring him or acknowledging him. Is the using of his name in vain? Because he becomes casual then, or feels casual. And that's not what God wants us to do. We can even use that in prayer. Consider how often you use the name of the Lord in your prayer just to cause a pause to have some filling. We just repeat the name very casually. And then also sometimes, of course, when you are in public, that you feel nervous. I understand. Still be conscious of that. We are calling upon the name of God when we mention his name, and that ought to be done intentionally. Not unintentionally. Prayer is a very solemn act of worship. It is the act of worship that the angels, as they praise the Lord, cover themselves with their wings out of a holy reverence. Not the angels, they're sinless. So let's not think casual about prayer. Prayer is a very solemn thing. We call upon God to listen to us. And how often thoughtlessly do we pray? Before or after our meal? We just mumble the words, friends. That is a form of taking his name in vain. Casualness in speech is not to be part of our prayer life. And if I think about the word vain again, that's frivolous. It's not just cursing that God is talking about. That's not frivolous. That's awful. But he, as it were, lays down the lowest degree of abusing his name. So let's be prayerful, considerate about how we honor his name. Now, taking his name in vain, of course, is certainly what our Heidelberg Catechism also brings out very beautifully, or rightfully, is that we curse him. We curse God when we use his name to express our anger or displeasure or surprise. That is the lowest form of cursing. That's common in our society. Everywhere around you, you hear people use, oh my God, and these kind of words, everywhere. That's a low-level curse. That ought not to be said by any of us. And I want to make a point of when I'm surprised or when I'm joyful with something, I don't appreciate anybody using my name in that context. I've done that once in the airplane. Fellow next to me using that all the time. And so I found out his name. And then I started talking and I said, "Oh my George," forget his name now. And he looked at me and said, "Why are you mentioning my name?" He says, "Well, what? So what? You mention my God's name all the time. So why can't I use your name? You don't like it. I don't even like it that you use God's name. Why won't you use God's name? He doesn't like it either." Now that made a good conversation. He says, "You know, you make sense. That makes sense. I'll try to think about it." So let's take opportunities like that in a friendly way, an effective way. You try to help people say, because a lot of them do it out of ignorance. They grow up with it. Kids have heard it all the times. Their parents do. Everybody does. So they don't know anything better. So therefore, put on your gentle gloves as you deal with such people. But still, as our catechism also says, if you really love the name of the Lord, we ought to not be silent. I will never forget walking on one of the busy shopping streets in the city of Leiden, where I was a student for 3 years, kids. And I was living next to my very godly aunt. And we walked together on this busy street. And this old lady heard somebody use the name of God in vain. And she walked right up to him. And she said, "No, you hurt me." "I hurt you?" "Yeah. I heard God's name in a way that really didn't show respect." I stood there, aghast. And she did it in a loving way and in a friendly way. And the person looked at her and said, "Thank you." You see, we are too often too intimidated. But if we come as a holier than thou, they immediately notice that. But if we come pain in our heart, this really hurts that you do this about the God I love. That's different. So let's remember these. Let's help others to keep this name of God in high esteem. Now thirdly, in our catechism mentions that by perjury we profane the name of God. False oaths. Swearing. Now our next Lord's Day obviously answers that. There's nothing wrong with making an oath in a proper context. We may swear an oath in court settings or in other times that we need to confirm the truth with a solemn appeal to God. It's a very solemn thing to do. When we stand before a judge and they ask me, "Will you tell the truth?" I just stood before a government official about 3 weeks ago. And he says, "Raise your right hand and swear you'll tell the truth and nothing else but the truth and all the truth." And I stood there and I swore before him that I will tell the truth. What was I doing? I was applying for American citizenship. I had to swear a truth, an oath, to tell the truth about everything I did. That's fitting. There's nothing wrong with that. That is an oath in a proper setting. Same with a vow. We may make vows. A vow is a very solemn promise to people or to God that we bind ourselves to do something. Job writes that he made a vow with God not to look upon a maid. Gives you a little insight about Job's inner struggles. But he made a vow to God. It's such a burden for him. David makes vows to God all the time. But not rashly, as the Scriptures teach us in Ecclesiastes 5. Think well before you make a vow. In congregation, may I remind you of the times that you made a vow? A vow when you stood here together with your wife or elsewhere, or husband, and you made a vow of marriage. Go read those vows again. You take the Lord's name in vain when you break your marriage vow. Or your parental vow. You take the Lord's name in vain. When we fail to raise our children up as we promised we would raise them up. We take our name, God's name, in vain when we fail our vows as office bearers. or the confession of faith vow, I promise to adorn myself with good works. You know, that's third commandment. To adorn myself with good works. We'll see that in a moment, that that's the heart of the third commandment. Obviously, we take his name in vain when we go to the extreme and we blaspheme God. Blaspheme against the Holy Spirit is a sin that is unpardonable. That's the highest degree of the breach of the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. What is that sin against the Holy Spirit? What is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Let me rephrase that. There's a difference between a sin against the Holy Spirit and a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Sinning against the Holy Spirit, everyone does every day in the life of grace. We ignore Him. We grieve Him. We vex Him. You do that in the life of your unregeneracy when you strive against the Spirit, striving with your conscience or with the Word. You sin against the Spirit's general and saving work. But the sin against the Holy Spirit, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit Jesus speaks about, is when I consciously and purposely call the clear work of God the work of the devil. That's a grievous sin. When the scribes and Pharisees called Jesus a servant of Beelzebub, that's a sin against the Holy Spirit in the deepest degree. When he had just done those miracles and he's been giving them evidences that he is truly of God, and they call him Beelzebub. Yeah? When we clearly call the evident work of God the work of the devil, that sin God will not forgive. Why would he not forgive? Children, why would he not forgive? Is the blood of Jesus Christ not sufficient to wash away that sin? Sure it is. But the sin against the Holy Spirit in blasphemy leads to a God abandonment of that person. And he will never give that person repentance of that sin. Total hardening then occurs. And they live and die in that condition. And therefore, if there is no repentance, there is also no forgiveness. That's why it's unpardonable. But now let us zero in to the heart of the third commandment. Our forefathers in the catechism does bring out that statement in the very end of question 99. Especially when we speak about that we are to use the holy name of God, no otherwise, and with fear and reverence. I've spoken about that. So that we may be rightly confessed and worshipped by us and be glorified in all our words and our works. The most forgotten or the most ignored sin against the third commandment. It's the one you don't do with your mouth. It is an interesting discovery for myself as I studied this over these years as well, that the word take in the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord of God in vain, in all of the Old Testament, is never related to the mouth. In the Hebrew, it would be more accurate to translate it, but it's okay to use the word take. Thou shalt not bear the name in vain. And of course, that's also on our tongue, and that's why it's not wrong at all to make these wonderful or a very clear teachings that we find on the law, on the vows, and on the blasphemy. But the Hebrew word says literally, thou shalt not carry or bear the name of God in vain. That's why I read this morning from Ezekiel 36. The Israelites profaned the name of God when they were among the heathens and acted like heathens. Or were they among themselves and they acted like heathens. Remember that the name of the Jews were named. What were they named? Israelites. The name of God was on them. They were God's people. In the New Testament, what are we called? Christians. 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 We carry the name of Christ as a Christian. And now you see that statement here, friends. He shall not be worshipped and glorified in all of our words and works. Bearing the name of God or carrying the name of God is like people who are in the military. They bear the uniform and they have the insignia that belongs to their country. And they are bearing their flag with respect. Wherever they are to show themselves respectful to the one they represent. You see, that's the task of a Christian. We are to represent Him. We are to reflect His name. Wherever we are, whatever we do, whoever we speak to. And as I reflect that name, I bear the name of God, not in vain. You notice in Ezekiel 36, verse 20, and when they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my name. John Gill, in his commentary, he says, how did they do that? By their irreligion and by their immorality. By their breaking both tables of the law. By wicked lives and conversations. Whereby they gave the enemies an occasion to reproach the God of Israel. Anytime I act stuck up, arrogant, impolite, uncourteous, proud, uncaring in the world, so that those that see me, hear me, work with me, talk to me, do not sense something of the reflection of the name of God, I break the third commandment. That's how deep that goes. We carry His name. You often hear, oh, those Christians are all hypocrites. What a truth that is. I'll never say to somebody who says it to me that he's untrue. I say, you're so right. You're so right about that. Hypocrisy, friends, is taking the third commandment and breaking it. Hiding the glory of God. Loving or greeting only your own, as the publicans do, is taking the third commandment. I give you another example in Amos chapter 2, verse 7. Amos writes, I can't find the book right now, but Amos writes somewhere that a man and his father go into the same maid. Horrible sexual sin. Then Amos adds, to profane my name. You see, every commandment, John Gill writes, every commandment we break relates back to the third. Every moment in which we fail to carry out the name of God goes back to the third. I will not hold you guiltless.
If you act like this and speak like this, you are degenerating yourself, destroying yourself. Jeremiah says the whole land mourneth because they swear.
Paul, writing in Romans chapter 2 to the Jewish segment of the Roman church, reminds them of this horrible evil. When he says, "Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? And thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? And thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? And thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou not commit sacrilege?" How do they do that? How do they commit sacrilege? By not reflecting the glorious name of God in the way they live. In the way they loved. We have to be careful how we carry out the name of God. Now we can, by our traditions, conserve very beautiful values and protect erosions of morals. But you know that the Pharisees dishonored the name of God with all their traditions. It angered Jesus. Made him very clearly go counter them, as we will see when we look at the fourth commandment. He fought the dishonor of the name of God in the way that they lived. Now, friends, this is a thought to take along this morning. This bearing out the name of God in the way that we live is the essence of Matthew 5, verse 17. That's the third commandment verse. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now that's the third commandment. That is taking this name of God in such a way and reflecting it in the way we bear out the name of the Lord in a godlike manner. We honor His name. When we shine the light, when we are reviled, we revile not back. When we're hit on our cheek and someone offends us, we don't let that offense overrule us, but we show him the other cheek. We honor his name when we do those things. And therefore, the reverse of the commandment is also true. They that honor me before men, I will honor. That's the other part of the commandment. When we honestly and uprightly confess the name of God before men, we will also experience the Lord's gracious and merciful love. Now I'm sure that every one of us who is listening to this morning sense that this whole commandment again is like an MRI, isn't it? You know what an MRI is, children? That's a different X-ray. An X-ray looks straight at your bone, but an MRI looks at you from every angle, inside. It's an incredible invention. And this third commandment is like an MRI. Looks at every different angle. And I saw this morning, it's not just only when you curse, or when you make a false oath, or when you rashly swear, or use the Lord's name in frivolous ways, but also when I don't live so that God's name is glorified. That's the third commandment. And we need, therefore, to be back at the Lord Jesus' feet this morning to seek for the forgiveness as well as for the grace. And let me therefore close with reminding you of this closing doxology of Jude. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Gracious Lord, thou hast taught in the Scriptures that by the law is the knowledge of sin. And this third commandment this morning has certainly shown us how we fail, how we sin against thy glorious name. And Lord, it may be that we have been kept from cursing and swearing. But who of us this morning can consider himself guiltless against the third commandment? Help us to see, O Lord, that the great cause of our struggles and misery indeed always is when we disobey Thee, when we disregard Thy holy commandments. O please, will Thou grant us grace by Thy Spirit also to come to Christ, to be washed and cleansed and to be renewed and to be refreshed through His Spirit, to walk in a way in which we hallow Thy name. This charge is in Thy favor, O God, and be with us further today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Psalm 435, verse 1, 4, and 9. My soul with holy awe remember the Lord in brightest majesty. And what follows in 1, 4, and 9 of Psalm 435. receive the Lord's blessing now. Let us go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.